Welcome to the Marketing Your Practice podcast, where we help natural health practitioners and wellness experts build profitable, predictable, and enjoyable practices. Each week, we share simple, effective, easily actionable, and proven heart-centered marketing strategies. And now your hosts, Dr. Angus Pike and Dr. Tony Rose.
Happy Thursday, whatever you're doing.
Well, we're going to get a little bit meta today, because we're doing a Facebook Live and we're going to be talking about live streaming. And should you be doing live streaming? So should your health practice be doing its own live streaming? So we're going to answer that question today. But I'm going to start with this. Earlier on in the week, I did a little live stream on here and over on Instagram, where I talked about some of the changes in the marketing landscape over the last 20 years. Now, before I want to actually, let's double tap on this, because we haven't kind of gone through another definition of marketing for a while, because you need to understand a bigger picture, because all these things otherwise are just tools. And if they're not tools as a part of a strategy that your practice is using, then you're trying to bolt things on top of something that doesn't have a foundation. Never works. Never works. So we really love the Dan...
Sullivan.
I was going to say Dan Murphy. We've been talking about Dan Murphy. We love the Dan Sullivan definition of marketing. Can you remember what it is?
To emotionally engage in a future that's good for them. Yeah. So we're engaging people in a future that's good for them, and giving them the necessary steps to take action towards that goal.
Yeah. So when we talk about marketing, it still comes up because for so many of us as health practitioners, we go through school, we get good at what we're doing, we want to get out into practice, and we want to help people, which is awesome. It's what fuels our heart. And for many of us, we either ignore the world of marketing. And when you do that, unfortunately, then you're going to have some real challenges. You know, it's been said the only things that are important in any business is marketing and innovation. Marketing and innovation. What are you doing that's new and different, and how are you sharing that with the world? Now, some of you right now will listen to this and go, well, no, I'm just going to help people and they're going to tell other people and that's what's going to happen. I'm going to build this thriving practice. Maybe. But that is incredibly rare and only happens in small circumstances. If all it took was a great product, then Apple would never market. You know, our biggest companies in the world put a significant amount of their money into marketing because they want to share the message. And so I think for many of us, we have this dirty idea of what marketing is. You know, that it's often, my background story was marketing was about manipulation. It was about getting you to do something that necessarily wasn't great for you, but was great for me. So I'm like, why would I want to engage in that? Like, ethically, that didn't make sense for me. And it wasn't until I came across that definition that Tony talked about before from Dan Sullivan, not the chiropractor, but Dan Sullivan, the business coach from Strategic Coach. And he has this definition that marketing is getting people intellectually engaged with a future result that's good for them, and then getting them motivated to take action. Because it's no good for us as small businesses for people to be going, oh, that article you put out was really interesting, but never getting on the phone and ringing us. If there's not taking action, then knowing how to eat is going to have a very different outcome on somebody's health than somebody actually eating differently. So we need to get people taking action, consistent action towards that end goal. So the first thing is this: if you don't have a future result for people that's good for them, then marketing, stop marketing. Like, don't even be thinking about marketing. Go back and start working on getting a future result that's great for people. You know, what do you do that makes a difference to people's lives? So that's why us talking about a Facebook Live strategy today or a video strategy is pointless if you're not jumping off the foundation that just says this: heck, I have something that makes a difference to people's lives and I want to fill my practice full of more of those people. If there's some kind of background story, and we had that conversation about the difference between content and context.
Yes.
You want to explain that?
Yeah, perfect. So, you know, that if you're going to, like in this example, it would be the context would be that this someone's got a bigger problem. So filling this practice with more people is just not the right thing to do. But thinking about these strategies as far as what am I saying in my head that's correct? Therefore, if I add new information or new processes or new, as you said, tools, it's just not going to work because the context is wrong. Yeah. But the content may be right, but in the wrong context, won't work.
So we'll give you and all you need to do is go back through these Facebook Lives that we've done over the last few months. There's content there that if you follow the steps that we've talked about, that will fill your practice with high quality new patients. If the context with which you're listening to this is that, you know what, I don't know how much value I offer to the community. Am I too expensive? Really, should somebody spend their hard-earned money on me? If that's the context with which you're listening to this, our strategies won't work. Mm. You have to be putting those strategies in a context that says this: I have real value to offer my community. I save lives. I make a difference to lives each and every day. And therefore, I want to go out to my community and find more of those right people so I can make a difference to them. And I deserve to be paid handsomely for it.
Yeah, and I think that's a really great point, is that you're also willing to take it from something that's in here, that, you know, the context that's within your own head, and that you're actually willing to step outside yourself and step outside your comfort zone to actually put it out there, put yourself out there. And in this context of a Facebook Live, yes, you have to put yourself out there, you know, and for some people that's going to freak you out. But hopefully we'll you know,
yeah,
calm that down a little bit.
So our title was, should you be going all in with Facebook Live? Well, we said our definition by all in should be using Facebook Live as a part of your marketing strategy, where you're marketing what we're after is getting people intellectually engaged in a future result that's good for them and having them committed to take action to make that happen. Well, the short answer is yes, you absolutely should be. It's without a doubt, when it comes to marketing, and the tools for marketing are constantly changing all the time, and we need to be up on it. But at the moment, it is the area that has the most reach, penetration, and engagement. And engagement is a really important word.
It's critical, isn't it?
Yeah. So our social media platforms, whether that be YouTube, whether that be Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, what they're all looking for is engagement. They're all looking for conversation. They're doing everything they possibly can to stop their platforms being a passive experience where I just get on there and scroll and scroll and scroll. What they know is that if I'm doing that, one, I'm not likely to spend a lot of time there. It's not as an enjoyable a process for them. If they can have me getting on there and making a comment on your video and then having a conversation going back and forwards, then that'll not only improve the amount of time that I'll stay on there, which selfishly is what they want, but it improves the enjoyment and the happiness. There's lots of interesting things that go along with engagement. And outside of what's good for Facebook or the social media platforms, the goal of our marketing, our outreach into our community, is to get people to know, like, and trust us. And if we want people to know, like, and trust us, then engagement will do that. There's an opportunity for us to interact as well. Now, on top of that too, when I want to add another layer of context in around this, and we were talking about this a little bit beforehand, is the idea of what's changed. Another thing that's changed significantly in the marketing world in the last 20 years is the number of touch points it takes before somebody's happy making a buying decision. So 20 just short years ago, if someone was like, a bit of a toothache, I need to find a dentist. On average, it took kind of 4 touch points. They'd have a bit of a look around, talk to some people about it, maybe have a look online or, you know, whatever was available at that stage. 4 touch points and they're happy to hop on the phone and ring up. That was on average. And if we multiply that or go forwards just 20 short years, that's now 16 touch points. So it's a 400% increase in the amount of times that someone's going to need to interact with your and my brand before they're happy to get on the phone and make an appointment, before they're happy to get out their wallet and shell out their cash. So we need to have strategies, multiple strategies in different formats, where we can be in front of people and giving them an opportunity to know, like, and trust us. So engagement is, if there's one reason why you should be using Facebook Live, it's engagement. And in fact, the stats we're going through, pulling some stuff up beforehand, someone will watch a live video 3 times longer than they'll watch a pre-recorded video. So videos by themselves are fabulous. If you're not using videos, then get out of 1970s and get into the year 2018 and start making videos. They're really simple. If you don't know how to make them, head back over to our website, work our way through the blogs, and we take you through what to make them about. I take you through the 5-part video script. I show you how to use it by just using your phone, nothing else. All the bits and pieces there as well. And if you want to dive deeper into it, then our course Video Influence is the encyclopedia for how you can make videos. You'll find that on our site there as well. But all information is there for you for free. So live videos, people watch more because they're engaging. And there's a couple other words I wrote down here before.
I think authenticity, I think, is...
Yeah, authenticity. There's an excitement and an immediacy and a connection that happens too with live videos. Mm. Now, the barriers that people have with live videos, you want to talk about some of those?
Well, I think, as we have covered in previous lives as well, it's just that being scared about being on camera,
yeah,
for one, putting yourself out there, you know? Am I good enough? Am I worthy? Will people like me? Will they watch my video? All these things, these questions come up. What will my mum think? There's so many little talks that are going on in the head. And I think for me, it's that case of if we understand that definition of marketing, this is something that's good for the people that are watching. Who am I to prevent them from getting the information that's up in my head? Mm. You know, who am I to say that I should withhold that information? And for me, that gets me over any fear or any questioning or doubt that comes up for me. So you've got to find that, you know, that reason for you, the bigger picture, the why. That's what works for me.
I've been reading lots and with the course I'm running through at the moment around this concept of, am I good enough? And Jim, the guy who I'm doing the course with, he says that it's a common reason for why we don't move forwards is, am I good enough? And he says, well, how will you know when you're good enough? So it's a really important question. Like, how would, you know, I'll start making videos when? Now the interesting thing is, so is it external feedback that you're wanting? Because the danger with external feedback, if we just go to, let's pick a song from someone like Ed Sheeran. I went and saw Ed Sheeran in concert the other night there too. Ed Sheeran, on one hand, there are people that love Ed Sheeran and there are people that hate Ed Sheeran. So if Ed Sheeran listened to all the people that says that he's not good enough, Ed's not sharing his magic. Choose your artists, Beyonce, Michael Jackson, you know, all of them, they have people that love them, they have people that hate them. So if you're waiting for the world to tell you that you're good enough, that's tricky. Now, then again, you go, okay, what? At least if you're saying, I'm going to start this when I'm good enough, at least set some really concrete KPIs instead of making them vague. Tony Robbins talks about we make it so hard in our lives to win. Like, you know, whether it be how we want our partner to love us, what we need to happen at work to have a great day, we have our rules set so incredibly high that it makes it very difficult for us to win. So if you're telling yourself right now, I'll start doing video or live video or doing whatever when I'm good enough, then stop. Good enough to whose standards? When will you be good enough? And give yourself some KPIs, start working towards those KPIs and get moving forwards. My guess is, you know, there's no doubt about it. You know, when I hear Jim the other day saying, you know what, you're all good enough to get started now. I go, that's not true. You know, there's some people now that, you know what, you're not good enough to start on video just yet. You need to get that other stuff done, the context, fill that other stuff there first. But here's what I'm thinking. The vast majority of you watching this right now, okay, I'm looking at you, you are good enough. There are people that are a step behind you, a chapter behind you in the book of life that need your information right now. So
going on that Ed Sheeran, you know, he said that when he first came to Melbourne, it's on tour, he played in a, I don't know, some venue in Collingwood to 60 people. Now, if he had have taken that feedback and gone, well, I'm never going to tour in Melbourne again, but no, he kept doing his magic, sharing his magic. He just did 4 sold-out concerts in Melbourne to 60,000 people at each concert.
So that was 2010.
Yeah, so in
wow,
7 or 8 short years, he's gone from playing to 60 people to 60,000 every night, 4 nights sold out in the one city. Remarkable. You know, and if that doesn't enough to urge you to share your message, but firstly, I think, you know, we'll keep going on the Ed Sheeran, the magic. He's found his magic. And you've got to find your magic, your message, your style, your way of sharing information, which is not the way that we share. And you'll see that I share differently to Angus. But you've got to find your magic and then be willing and big enough to stand up and actually share it with your community because they need you.
Yeah. Here's how you won't find it, though. You won't find it by sitting at home to find it and then getting started. The only way you'll find it is by getting started. So, you know, that's the other thing. It's like, oh man, I've got to find my purpose. I've got a purpose. Like, I think we hold back waiting for some lightning bolt to come and strike us to tell us that this is God's calling for us to move forwards. Conversation for another time. But you'll find into and you'll step into your purpose as you get going. You'll find things, you'll life have a communication style, you'll get your point there too. But the key is get started. This is where you need to actually begin with it and moving forward. So, you know, the Ed Sheeran that is here today, I'm sure that this wasn't how he was 10 years ago. It certainly wasn't how he was 15 years ago. He evolves into as we move forward. And so the same thing will happen with your communication strategies, with you as a practitioner and all those kind of things. But you've got to keep on moving forwards. The interesting thing is, because of all the things that scare people in around videos, then you add a live component to it, which says I then don't have any retakes. So if I fumble, I'm in trouble. If I forget what I'm saying, I'm in trouble. And we'll talk about the cafe rule in a moment with regards to that also. But I also think that's what's great.
But it's almost the opposite, isn't it? Because there's this expectation. Now, if Angus and I put out a video for you guys and it's on a particular topic and we do it in the studio, then there's an expectation that it's edited beautifully and that it's seamless and that the audio quality is great and that it's all been scripted out and all those sort of things. Whereas when we're live, the expectation from the audience is, hey, this is live. Mm. Yes, they know what they're going through, but it's not scripted. It takes tangents and we fumble, we laugh, the phone rings. Like there's an allowance there, which I find quite liberating.
Yeah, it's almost easier. In fact, I had to record some live video yesterday for a course that I'm putting together on just how do I shoot better video just with my mobile phone. And there was one section there, and I must have 10 times I went through it because I was trying to get it word perfect. And I was thinking to myself, if I was doing this as a live, I would have just ummed and ahed and moved on. And there's no doubt I was trying to make it too perfect. But, you know, we've got an outline here. We talked about it beforehand. We had some preparation time. We knew where we were going. We had some lead-up time into this even this week. So it's not just off the cuff. You don't want to be doing that. But there is that real freedom in live video that I think is way less. You know, for starters, there's no editing afterwards. So that...
much easier.
You know, so we're not mucking around trying to put titles up and all that kind of stuff as we're moving forwards. So live video is an opportunity for you to engage. And I like that word you said before, level of authenticity. When somebody's looking for a health practitioner, this is a relationship that we want. And I'm going to get to know you better in a live environment because I know that you're not scripting. And I reckon the other thing that's really driving towards it too is there's a pushback towards, on the social media, everything has become so polished. So when there's a fantastic photograph of you following some Instagram person, guy, gal, you go, that looks amazing, the background is good and they're ripped and shredded. I can tell you that's not the first shot. There are multiple shots and it's edited, that kind of stuff. For starters, most of them aren't taken with their mobile devices. You know, they've got beautiful cameras and photographers there and then it's uploaded through there. That there's a level of expectation there that's unreasonable for most of us. So therefore, when we spin around to something that's really organic and real and authentic like live video, that's what's so attractive to it. It's
almost like, oh, okay, so I'm seeing these guys as they are, as they're delivering. This is a, you know, chiropractor or a naturopath. I can really get a sense of who they are in a live, far beyond anything polished or an Instagram photo that's taken 3 hours to prepare of your chai latte with a bunch of flowers. It's
the reality TV of social media. And if you know, just have a look what's on our television, whether it be The Bachelor, whether it be I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, all those kind of things. Like them or hate them, the vast majority of the community is watching these shows, which is why they continue to be made. So it's about, if you want to reach your audience, then again, another context for us to put things inside of. It's not about you. It's about where is your audience and what are they wanting? And hands down, our communities are voting with their eyes and their attention saying, we want live video. We watch it more than ever. Now, there's lots of platforms. There's YouTube, there's Facebook, there's Instagram, there's Twitter and other live platforms. The one where most video is now watched is Facebook. Facebook has just kind of overtaken YouTube. It says there's more live video watched there. It's probably just a numbers game. There's more people that are a part of the Facebook community. That would be where I'd be encouraging you between Facebook and Instagram is for you to be starting to put your live there as well. Let's talk about two different kinds of live stream. Mm. And then we'll kind of sum all of this kind of up from there too. We've gone on some good tangents from today too. But the short answer, if you're jumping in with us now, we've had this conversation around, should you be live streaming? You know, is it something that my practice should be doing? And the answer is absolutely yes, you really should. It's a great way for you to reach your audience, for you to engage with your audience. It's a powerful tool for you to get in front of people and let them know, like, and trust you. So there are two umbrellas of which your live streams could come underneath. You could do both of these. You could choose one or of these. If you are going to choose one, I'll tell you which one. But let's talk about the two different kinds of live streams.
So there's the live stream, which is what we call the live stream, which is a more of a show. Yeah. You know, a little bit like this one. Angus and I get on the couch every Thursday and we have a particular topic that we're going to discuss and share with you. We have a, you know, sort of an outline, so it's more of a show.
Yes.
Isn't it? A bit more, got the lights on, we've got the camera, we do a little bit of directing. You know, it's almost a little TV show. And that's a live stream.
Yeah. So some consistency is the key word for those. So we do these always on a Thursday. In terms of consistency of time, we're pretty close. It depends when I finish my adjustments for the morning, but they're within sort of 10 or 15 minutes of each time. There is preparation. If there's a background intent of what Tony and I are trying to do with these, it's to value add to you. It's to give you tools and resources, headspace, to help you reach more people out in your community there. We want to be solving problems. That's what we're doing. This is all about us being cool and helpful is what we kind of talk about.
Hopefully.
Yeah, that's the idea. Or if not, look, I at least think that you're cool and helpful.
Thanks, man.
So so that's our focus when we're doing this too. So I would think that at the very least, this kind of live stream to be set up in a structure like Tony and I are doing now, if you can't commit to once a month with it, it's not for you. If this needs to be a once a month, once every 2 weeks, once every week if you can, then that's consistency there. You want to get your audience starting to get used to a time so they know they can come and see you there. There's also some interesting things to think about with regards to the length of time of this kind of live stream. And that is, from the moment we hit go on the live stream here, then what Facebook is doing, in this case is Facebook, is gathering an audience for us. They're sharing it around, they're trying to pull an audience for us too. And that audience number tends to peak in around that 20-minute cycle. So it would be a good idea that your show at least go for that 20 minutes. So 20 minutes of content once a month, once a week is what you should be looking at as well. The vast majority of your views are not going to come when it's live though. So this is not just, hey, you know, there are still plenty of times when Tony and I have done Facebook Lives to no one. Mm. You know, the one that I did on Instagram the other day, there was two people on there. I checked back within a matter of hours later and another 18 people had seen it since then. So these are people I have an opportunity to communicate with, add value to. And so don't be scared about doing a live to nobody. So that's your live stream. Here's those points. Consistent, tends to be a longer show. It's about adding value to people there too. Consistent time,
preparation,
all those kind of things there too. So the other one, I'll borrow this term from Luria, the gang over at Live Streaming Pros. She refers to it as a life stream. So
so a life stream, as it kind of suggests, is more about every sort of more normal life. It's maybe not scripted. It's not so much prepared. They would be a shorter life stream. For instance, you know, as health practitioners, we might be out and about somewhere and we pull out our phone and we go live with a message for our people that relates back to their health and helps them out. It might be, I'm trying to think of an example. You're at the supermarket, you're doing your weekly shop and you think, wow, here's a great opportunity to let people know what's in my shopping trolley and what I'm cooking for dinner tonight. And that might be of value to your clients. Now, it might not be. So it's got to be obviously relevant to your target audience. But these are a short and sharp insight into your life, showing a little bit more personality of you rather than your business, and can be super, super powerful.
Yeah.
Really, to get to know, like, and trust you.
Let's not forget that a big part of what makes video so powerful is the voyeuristic nature of it. We want to get to know people and we want to see a little bit of behind the scenes of their life. Mm. I find it difficult to sometimes share that too, but you know, sometimes it might be just, hey, live stream, which is just, hey, out for a walk here with the dog, really grateful about this and that. I just want to reach out to you guys and say, have a happy weekend, have a happy Easter coming up as well, sending love, over and out. Mm. Like it's a bit of personality-based kind of stuff there too.
I think one of the videos that I produced, this is, I'd have to say nine years ago, was one of the most, got most the most views, which is me doing my making my breakfast smoothie in the morning in my kitchen, and that one just went gangbusters with my audience. So, yeah, share a bit of yourself, a bit of your life. What are you passionate about? What's going to help people? And that's a life stream.
Yeah, and there a little bit about, we were talking with Murray the other day that you were dropping in out because you were driving the car. This concept of that some of our videos need to be. I think she referred to them as why videos. So they're like, why do you do what you do? And a live stream is a really great way to share that, because it could be just a life stream could be a great way to do that. It's simple as sitting down and say, gang, I just want to share a little story with you. You know, I saw this patient this morning who, you know, had been having difficulty with X, Y, and Z. We've been working with them over this time period. And things are just doing great now. That's some of you, particularly the Aussies that are listening here now, you might not be able to share those kind of testimonial type sort of stories. But sharing the behind the scenes of why you do what you do, that gives an understanding of your personality. It's a little bit of that Simon Sinek's idea of what's your why? What's your why in behind it there too? A little bit of personality. So live streams are, again, unscripted, impromptu. They tend to be kind of handheld type sort of devices that we're looking at from here. They're shorter and they're more about you. They're sharing, believe it or not, we want to get to know about you. Certainly if I'm going to want to be doing business with you regularly, and if you want to be a health practitioner and want to be part of my health team, I want to get to know who you are and see your behind the scenes as well. So that's a life stream. So
get into it.
So we've talked today about live streaming. Should you be doing it? Well, the short answer is yes, you should, because it has a better reach, better engagement. People watch them longer than any other form of communication. We think they're simpler to do because in many ways there's not that standard that needs to happen when you're pre-recording a video. So there's no editing afterwards. They're okay with some ums and ahs, which doesn't mean that you don't have to have some preparation going in advance. Preparation is always the key. And then there's two different kinds of live streams that you should be doing. Now, I think this, if you're only going to be picking one kind of live stream, do the long one. Okay, I think if I'm just constantly seeing behind the scenes of you out walking the dog, having a chai latte at the supermarket, it doesn't, whilst I want to get to know about you, what the three questions people want to know is, do I trust you? Do you understand me? And can you help? And if you're constantly showing those other sorts of videos, none of those are can you help videos. So I'm going, oh, great. Yeah, Tony's cool. He makes a cool chai latte. Here he's out walking the dog again. Now he's down at the beach. Man, that chiropractor has a great life. I need Tony to be showing a video where he does something that makes a difference to my life. And then I'm like, ah, I like him. Looks like he understands me. And man, he's showing me ways that he can help me. So if you're only going to choose one of between the live stream and the life stream, if you're wanting to fill your practice with high quality people, then do the live stream as well. So anything else to add to that?
No, I think just hit record.
Yeah.
Get out there.
So if you've got any questions, I know there's a bunch of you on live here at the moment. So now's your opportunity to interact, ask us some questions. We haven't mentioned, a bit tardy of us too, we have a great video checklist that whether it be going live like we're doing now, or whether it be that you're wanting to just shoot some videos for your practice, then head on over to adiomedia.com/video checklist. Easy to remember, one word, video checklist. And pop your name and email in there too, and we'll send you over the checklist. There's a 9-point checklist that goes through from, you know, some tips on preparing your videos to the obvious, make sure you turn your phone off before you start recording. But it's a great checklist for you as well. So adiomedia.com/video checklist. But if you've got any questions for us now, now's the time to do that. I think we are. Otherwise, we're out of here. Someone's going to have to get on there quickly. But we'll be checking back. What's happening?
Nothing. All good.
All right, guys. Well,
have a great week.
Will do. Love and laughter to you all. Ooh. Thanks for all that you do. Keep saving lives. And we look forward to seeing you back here same time next week with more fun stuff to help your practice be more profitable, more predictable, more sustainable, more fun.
More fun.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Marketing Your Practice podcast, where we help natural health practitioners and wellness experts build profitable, predictable, and enjoyable practices. For more information, please visit www.addiomedia.com.